This weekend's edition of In Focus is an encore presentation.
Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning in this time of the coronavirus pandemic, Kyle Penny, President and CEO of the East Texas Communities Foundation. A lot to talk about today along those lines. Good morning, Kyle. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me. There certainly is a lot going on in the nonprofit community in response to this pandemic, so glad to have an opportunity to talk about it.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Kyle, I actually initially took note of the possibility and the likelihood of bringing you in for this show because of a newspaper column ran in the Tyler Morning Telegraph right around the end of March. It's part of the weekly philanthropy column that the paper runs. You rotate with several other people with different organizations. And the title of this was, "What Does COVID-19 Philanthropy Look Like?" And that's about as good a title for this show as I can think of, besides just the regular In Focus, which we use from week to week. Talk a little bit first about the East Texas Communities Foundation, who you are and what you do, just so people will understand how you fit into this scenario.
Sure. So East Texas Communities Foundation is a public charity. We manage a number of charitable funds, over 375 now, for different nonprofit organizations, scholarship funds, donor-advised funds, which are very excellent tools in a pandemic for donors to be able to do quick charitable giving and be very responsive in situations like this. So we manage these funds. We also come to the rescue when somebody says, hey, we need a fund to do this. And the mayor's made that call, and other organizations are stepping up. So we're glad to be an organization that can help facilitate philanthropy in times like this.
So you stay busy all the time, but you're especially busy and busy in a whole new way, like just about everybody else during this period. By the way, if you want more information about the East Texas Communities Foundation, really simple to find. The website is etcf.org. If you go there, you can find out just about everything you need to know about what's happening with ETCF. Now, from your perspective as a regional public foundation, let's just jump right into this. What are you observing as donors and nonprofits respond to the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, it's interesting, John. The nonprofits have a variety of responses based on the programs that they provide. So some of those on the front lines are experiencing increased need right now in a situation like this. So certainly the food banks and crisis centers and shelters, organizations that provide rent and utility assistance, those organizations are feeling the brunt very quickly. What I like to say is there are a number of folks in our community that live kind of in a fragile economic condition. So any little disruption to their paycheck, their normal schedule, can throw them into a crisis situation. So there are those frontline charities such as the food bank and others that are immediately having to step up and support those folks, really play that safety net role. There are other organizations that are having to adapt their services. So they're not able to do things as they normally would. Those organizations are, for example, the education institutions. Every public school, let alone all the private schools and colleges, are learning how to do things online. How do you get materials ready? How do you deliver those electronically and try to stay engaged with students and families? So organizations like the Literacy Council are also responding to that. Christian Women's Job Corps, other organizations. Mentoring Alliance is a good example. You know, they typically run an after-school program each day in many of our public schools. Well, there's no kids at public school, so they're finding other ways to help out. One is with the food delivery program that is set up with TISD at several different schools throughout the week. So Mentoring Alliance is manning the food bank and putting boxes and sack lunches together to stay engaged and supportive of those children and families that they typically see. There are other organizations then that are just flat out of luck at a situation like this. They are absolutely just having to cancel their activity. So the theater programs, pet adoptions, concerts, you know, all the sporting events, all the nonprofits that run different leagues and programs around, they're just simply having to put all their activities on hold or cancel entire seasons. So the spectrum of responses from the nonprofits is across the board. But many of them are being hit particularly hard this time of year by having to cancel fundraising events as well. So spring is a big time to do golf tournaments and luncheons and galas, and all those types of activities are canceled. So those are great opportunities for those nonprofits to communicate with their donors, to stay engaged, and also to raise vital support. And those are just not available right now. So that actually brings up a good opportunity for East Texas Communities Foundation. East Texas Giving Day happens to be coming up, and it's something that's online, and hopefully we'll really be able to step in and fill in some of the gaps with these organizations at this particular time.
Yeah, we'll get into that later in a big way, because that's actually officially underway, even though the actual giving day has not come up yet. You talked about increased need, and you said that any little disruption, and I know that was just kind of, you didn't mean that literally, but this is a big disruption. I don't know if there's a word for how big this is and how much it's affecting, really, people all around the world. I specifically wanted to point out that the need includes increased mental health and family crisis needs as people deal with major stress such as job loss and confinement. They're not just missing out on the services. They're having to deal with anything and everything. It's a ripple effect, a very negative ripple effect.
Absolutely. It starts with the economic situation, somebody losing a job or child care support that affects their ability to go to work. And it trickles on down through just depression, anxiety, and domestic violence and domestic abuse situations. It can have very terrible consequences. And there are great nonprofits around our community that are that safety net that's available for folks that find themselves in difficult situations.
We're talking to Kyle Penny, President and CEO of the East Texas Communities Foundation. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Kyle and his organization, of course, very much involved in COVID-19 relief efforts. People need money. People need relief from this situation. We're hearing lately that the curve is kind of starting to flatten, but also that we can't get too cocky, as we used to say back in junior high school. You have to ride this whole thing out, pay close attention to what the authorities are telling us about stay-at-home orders, social distancing. That's the big one that's gotten the most traction probably over the last couple of weeks. Other things like keeping surfaces clean, washing your hands, things of that nature. But what this is really called on nonprofits and businesses and people in the community to do is to get creative. And that's exactly what the East Texas Communities Foundation has done. And along those lines, it's important, I think, to note that nonprofits with the strongest relationships and most effective communication channels with their donors are effectively reaching out for support, while others are less effective with their donors. Talk about that a little bit and maybe how some of the others can be more effective.
Right. So as we talk to different nonprofits and try to gauge, you know, what has happened to them, what events have they had to cancel, how has this affected their fundraising, there's a wide variety of responses. So again, those that are so close to their donors in constant communication and already familiar with electronic communications and the speed at which that can get messages delivered efficiently, those organizations seem to be doing pretty well. They can appeal to their folks, they can get good stories out to the media, and the media are picking up on it and getting the word out for those organizations. There are other organizations that are simply paralyzed by this. It's thrown their fundraising plans and their programming on its ear, but they still are trying to maintain payroll, trying to maintain some limited services, trying to adapt their services. So, for example, when the federal assistance program came out, we're counseling all the nonprofits. Nonprofits are eligible to apply for that to try to maintain your payroll through this crisis. So we're encouraging nonprofits to get their paperwork in, make sure they do everything they possibly can to help maintain their services. And a lot of times that's staff. Nonprofits are very heavily staff focused and hire professionals that have great skills to do the case management and the program work that they do. So we don't want to lose those great people that are so vital to helping folks in our community.
I think it's important to note that they can call on you, and they are doing it. And if they want to reach you or your agency, East Texas Communities Foundation, phone number is 903-533-0208, and the website is etcf.org. I wanted to briefly mention another organization that's run by a longtime community advocate, Dawn Franks, and that is Your Philanthropy. I know you work closely with them, and their mission, I think, kind of overlaps yours a little bit. They have a slightly different purpose, but that's, I would say, an example of another agency that we're going to talk about a little bit later on under a different heading that people can also call on if they need advice or counsel with anything like this.
Right. So Dawn and I always joke with each other. We both run the two most obscure philanthropy organizations in the community that we're always having to try to explain to people what we do. But Dawn is also on the front lines representing a number of charitable organizations and charitable funding grant makers. So Dawn is getting these same information points and bullet points from the nonprofits and doing her best to educate herself on what their current needs are, how they're responding, and how we can help.
Okay, and if you want to find out more about Your Philanthropy, I don't have a website handy, but people know how to Google things, so right. Go ahead and do that. And at this point, I think it's necessary to pull out all the stops and for people to use any and every option that they have to find out about basically how they can survive through this crisis.
Absolutely.
And one of the ways that they can do that, and that this is what, the third or fourth year now of East Texas Giving Day?
Yeah, this is year five,
year
believe it
five.
Or not.
Okay.
Year
well,
five.
Okay, well, sorry, Ms. Culver, my first grade teacher who taught me simple arithmetic. I guess I botched that one. But year five of East Texas Giving Day, that just keeps getting bigger and better every year. And it's already kicked off. East Texas Giving Day this year, which is run basically online through your agency, the East Texas Communities Foundation, April 28th is the official day. You usually start a couple of weeks early. This year you started 3 weeks early. So East Texas Giving Day is already underway online. Let's just talk about what you're doing and how people can get involved in that right now, particularly on behalf of these agencies and people that are really suffering.
Sure. So East Texas Giving Day is a online crowdfunding campaign, and it focuses its energy specifically on one day. Tuesday, April 28th will be the actual East Texas Giving Day. On that day, there will be leaderboards running showing the totals raised by over 180 nonprofits throughout the East Texas region. So that's kind of the fun main event, but advance giving is open right now. So there are some prizes for organizations that raise the most money in advance giving. I think as of the other day, we had over 20,000 in contributions already through advance giving. So if you've got plans on April 28th, you can go ahead and give right now. So Giving Day is open. The beautiful thing about the East Texas Giving Day website is you can go to one location and search and do various searches and select from among 180 plus organizations that are participating. So if you're looking for organizations that deal with animals, or if you're looking for organizations that deal with arts and culture or nutrition programs, you can search by those categories. You can search by the name of your community. You can search by a partial name of an organization. You think it's got an animal name in it or something. And we've also added a feature this year where you can actually search and do a filter on organizations that have put specific information on there about how they're responding to COVID-19.
Kyle Penny is our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Kyle is the president and CEO of the East Texas Communities Foundation. We're talking specifically about how the East Texas Communities Foundation and other organizations that it's connected to around the community and other people are responding to the COVID-19 crisis. I understand the minimum donation that can be made on East Texas Giving Day is really more like East Texas Giving Month at this point, is $10. www.easttexasgivingday.org. That's how you get right there, and you can get ongoing updates about the event on the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/simplifiedgiving, or you can go directly to the foundation's website at www.etcf.org. I just kind of had to jump in there and let people know whom we're talking to this morning and why. Right. But Kyle, I know you got a lot more to say about East Texas Giving Day.
Yeah, so one of the great things about East Texas Giving Day, over the last 4 years, we've been working hard with nonprofits to all get better at social media fundraising. So And then along comes a pandemic. So there's no greater opportunity to be good at social media fundraising than in this situation where you can't have any physical contact with anyone. So all the fundraising activities and events that nonprofits normally have scheduled have all been scuttled. But East Texas Giving Day is still there. So hopefully we'll see additional response. There are a number of folks that are not going to be able to do anything else on April 28th. So if they're sitting at home, East Texas Giving Day is completely online. In fact, last year we saw for the first time in the first 4 years of the campaign, the number, the percentage of people participating by using their mobile phone went over 50%. I think it was about 55% last year. So this is becoming not only an online event, but an in-your-hand event for most folks. So it's very simple to do. It's easy to go on that one location, find any one or more of the 180 charities, and make a single transaction and benefit multiple charitable organizations.
So far, over $750,000 in matching funds are available on the Giving Day site. It seems like you have more bells and whistles on this project than I can count, and that's just another one that I think is very much worth mentioning.
It is very much worth mentioning. Matching funds are a strategy that the nonprofit organizations use to work in advance of Giving Day with different donors and try to get up matching pool. So it's fantastic. We've got over 750,000, over 67 different organizations that have matching money available. So you can search on the Giving Day site by who has matching money. So your dollars will be doubled for those organizations. If you give them one, they've got one coming from somebody else. So that's a real effective tool for the nonprofit. So they've all set particular goals. You can see their goals on each of their landing pages and help them achieve their goals this year.
Again, talking to Kyle Penny with the East Texas Communities Foundation, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. I think we may have time to come back to East Texas Giving Day again later in the show, maybe with at least some reminders about how people can get involved and maybe a few of those bells and whistles that we might have missed. I think we hit most of them. But we want to move on here because there are other projects underway, both inside and outside the East Texas Communities Foundation. The first one that we're going to mention is one, the first real opportunity that I recall within the past couple of weeks for people to actually get involved directly with helping out financially during the COVID-19 crisis. It was announced, I think maybe a week or a week and a half ago, at one of the numerous multi-agency press conferences that have been held. And this is called the Tyler Area Healthcare Worker Support Fund. Kyle, tell us all about that.
So as the emergency operations group was ramped up and they do their daily activities and they're in contact with all the providers and responders throughout our community, it was brought to the mayor's attention that we've got healthcare workers that are working in some unusual circumstances. Typically, if you're on a shift to the hospital, you've got the freedom to roam about and go down to the cafeteria, and there's plenty of activity when you've got a lunch break. Not so in this crisis. In this crisis, a lot of those folks are confined to their specific locations. The cafeterias are not operating normal activities, that you can't sit down and eat anywhere. So the hospitals are delivering food to these folks. So meanwhile, we've got local restaurateurs that are seeing significant declines in their activity. So this is a partnership between the East Texas Restaurant Association, the East Texas Medical Society Alliance, and the East Texas Communities Foundation to raise funds and connect these local restaurants, giving them some business and having them feed our local emergency department. So we got that started a couple of weeks ago. Funds started coming in, and we were able to make our first delivery on Good Friday. So that program is underway. You can make contributions to that directly at the East Texas Communities Foundation website, etcf.org. There's a scrolling donation button on the top of that page where you can support that great effort to provide some great meals for our local ER staffs, our frontline workers.
And once that got started, other things began to kick in, and it was real encouraging to me personally. The next agency that I remember hearing from, the next company actually, was Brookshire's, and they started something on behalf of the, and I may be getting these a little out of order, but we'll hit all of them. They started something on behalf of the food banks.
That's correct. Brookshire's always has a great relationship with our food banks, and this is no different. They are stepping up in a big way to provide food and resources for those local food banks. The food banks are getting hit, as we said earlier, pretty hard by this. There are folks, again, who are in a fragile situation, normally on food programs, and it's difficult to get the food to them, for example, through all the lunch programs and things of that nature. So Brookshire's support is greatly needed, and the food bank does a great job marshaling those resources and getting them to the right people.
I wanted to throw something in here a little bit. Again, as we're talking to Kyle Penny with the East Texas Communities Foundation this morning on In Focus, I'm John Sims. Speaking of food banks, the East Texas Food Bank, which covers a large area around East Texas. I belong to a small group that typically volunteers there about once a month. Last time we were scheduled to volunteer, sorry, can't have you. And that just kind of adds to the pinch that the food banks and other agencies are feeling that depend on these volunteers who simply can't show up to volunteer right now.
That's absolutely true. Fortunately, the food bank within the last year or so has opened a great new volunteer support center, so it gives them more space to spread people out, but they're still having to be careful about how many workers and volunteers they have in there at any particular time. But there's tremendous need. So lots of boxing up packages for families and preparing meals for children in our schools.
Okay, I don't have a web link handy for the Brookshire's effort, but it's going to be easy to find. I mean, if you just Google anything that has to do with this, it's probably going to come up pretty close to the top. So we certainly encourage everybody to think about this. We've talked about two or three different options already for getting involved in an online fashion, and we ain't done yet. So let's go through some of the other ones. Next up, the Better Business Bureau serving Central East Texas. And this is where Dawn Franks and your philanthropy come in, because Better Business Bureau has begun collaborating with Austin Bank and your philanthropy to provide an efficient funding stream and application evaluation process to get much needed funds to our local businesses. And I'm not proud, I'm reading right off the news release, but I think that's probably the best way to get the message across on this particular effort. Let's talk about that a little bit. Your
sure.
personal feelings about it, a little bit about what you know about how it works.
Yeah, so typically providing grant funding to for-profit entities is not considered charitable. But when you're in the middle of a pandemic, it is considered charitable. So these are the economic engines for our communities, the small businesses, and the Better Business Bureau has great connections with each of those. So these are survival grants. These are not padding the bottom line grants for our local businesses. These are things that are meant to help them stay afloat and weather these very uncertain economic conditions. So there's certainly federal programs that they can apply for. There's unemployment benefits if they have to lay off folks. But the Better Business Bureau is stepping up and trying to fill that gap as well to keep our businesses strong.
Okay, now there is an application evaluation process involved with this, and it specifies BBB accredited businesses that have experienced a 50% or greater reduction in revenue for March 2020 and who are located within the 19-county BBB East Texas service area are eligible to apply. You can go online to bbbhelps.us. That's bbbhelps.us. To get more information, you can also text BBB2020 to 243725. This has to be done before April 30th, so get those applications in now. But the Better Business Bureau certainly there to help you through this crisis. Again, talking to Kyle Penny with the East Texas Communities Foundation, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus, ETCF on the front lines as we try and work our way through a crisis that, again, seems to be leveling off somewhat, but very uncertain times ahead. Last one we want to mention here is the, as far as agencies, organizations, businesses that have stepped up to the plate, University of Texas and Tyler just announced this week that Southside Bank has provided $25,000 for scholarships, and it's going to be used to help students impacted by the coronavirus. $1,000 scholarships will be awarded. And a $1,000 scholarship may seem like a lot to some folks, not so much to others, but if you can get a $1,000 scholarship and you're just kind of on the bubble, it might help you get over that hump.
It's very helpful. If you remember college days and eating ramen noodles and, you know, surviving on a meager existence, this is great support for students to try to help them keep their education on track. So the Communities Foundation is very engaged in scholarship work ourselves. We typically are dealing with high school students, just finished a number of interviews and selection processes, had over 150 volunteers serving on various scholarship committees. So scholarships are near and dear to our heart, and we appreciate the work that UT Tyler is extending to these students to try to help them stay on track.
We want to talk more about your scholarship program in just a moment, and we also want to make sure everybody understands that applications for the UT Tyler and Southside Bank Partnership are accepted through April 22nd. So please do be mindful of those deadlines. It's possible they could be extended. We don't really want to say they will or they won't, but the way things are going right now, you can't really be sure. But keep those deadlines in mind. April 30th for the Better Business Bureau effort, April 22nd for the Southside Bank UT Tyler effort, and again, East Texas Giving Day coming up on April 28th. So jot right. those down or put them in your phone and make sure that you don't miss out.
So that Southside program is really an important shout out during the InFocus program. If you're a parent of a college student and your college student is not up listening to the radio yet, you be sure and let them know that that program exists and make sure that they sign up and get application in for that grant.
Okay, of course, InFocus is also available online starting the day after the show airs, by the day after the show airs, so keep that in mind as well. We usually don't mention that twice during the same show, but in this case, again, the old pulling out all the stops syndrome. Talking about scholarships, you have a very active scholarship program. We know how this has affected students. All of a sudden, they're being forced to do lessons online. They're being homeschooled in some cases, and students who have very limited or no internet access are really taking a hit. But your scholarship program rolls on, and tell us about how that's going right now and how it's being affected by the COVID-19 crisis, how you're responding.
Sure. So fortunately, several years ago, we moved our entire scholarship process online. Mm-hmm. So the students apply online, their references, send in materials online. The committees that do the selection and evaluation do all their work online. So we were left over the years without great big stacks and boxes of paper, but with short meetings with our selection committees to make their final decisions. So simply moving those to a lot of phone meetings or Zoom meetings has been a real easy process. Our volunteers have stepped up and continued to participate this year, so they've done a great job. We've got over 75 standing scholarships, and those provide scholarships for over 120 students a year. So we appreciate the volunteer work, appreciate all the students that have applied. Notifications are going out presently to let those students know who received those scholarships, and those scholarships will be applicable for next fall's college semester.
Okay, getting down close to the end of the show, and just kind of wanted to give you a chance to briefly, again, let's just quickly review East Texas Giving Day with the dates and some of the basics.
Sure. So East Texas Giving Day, the main event, takes place from 6 a.m. to midnight on Tuesday, April 28th. So you can go to easttexasgivingday.org on that day and watch the leaderboard count up as the dollars come in, and you can see who's getting the funding, who's got matching funds available. Participate in various incentive prizes throughout the day where organizations are awarded different prizes based on their contributions throughout the day. We certainly want to honor the effort for all those matching donors. There's $750,000 plus in matching funds out there. Also want to give a brief shout out to the nonprofits. As part of this COVID-19 situation, we've extended registration. So nonprofits can register through the 13th. So the window's short if you're listening to this radio show, but that's been extended to try to get as many nonprofits to participate as possible in this, because this is one fundraising event that, unless the internet goes down, this one's going to happen. And it happens from the comfort and safety of your own home. So you can use every precaution and still participate in a grand way on East Texas Giving Day.
Let's not even talk about the internet going down. Let's not even go there. Just to kind of wrap up the show, Kyle, there's so much being done right now right here in the East Texas community, but there's so much more that could be done, and I'm sure you encourage people and organizations and businesses that have creative ideas to get on board and to consult you and agencies like Your Philanthropy if they want to come up with something on their own.
Absolutely. We are ready to engage with people that have a philanthropic heart. We'd love to support your charitable giving.
You bet. Kyle Penny with the East Texas Communities Foundation, our guest this morning on InFocus, talking about his group's activities and others during the coronavirus crisis. I'm John Sims. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you again next week on InFocus.